is, but the greater bulk of the workforce, you never see them on the stage. And so I want to acknowledge the entire Christ Unveiled staff. Thank you so much for what you do. Amen. Sometimes you don't really see it. You know, in this ministry, we have elders in this church. All they do, and I'm not minimizing what they do, but the extent of their effort, their participation is, they make sure that the money that you put in the baskets in the back, that they get secured and put in the right place. And it's easy to overlook that effort, but it's important to the church. And so we thank God for all of our workers in Christ Unveiled. I don't dare to try to name them all because I always forget somebody. And so we thank God for them. You coming by webcast today, we appreciate you being with us. We're going to just let the Lord have his way today. He spoke to me, I believe, early this week, but he really emphasized it on yesterday concerning what I want to share with you. And it's on the topic of the Holy Spirit. You know, many times we take the Holy Spirit and we have a very ambiguous understanding of who he is. That being the case, it's easy to push him to the background of our lives, which is a mistake. If you intend to advance in sanctification, you can't have the Holy Spirit in the back room. He's got to be front and center. And so this morning, I'm going to ask you to turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Genesis, chapter 1. We're going back to the opening pages of the history of mankind. Genesis, chapter 1. And we'll just begin reading with verse 2. Moses writes, "And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God," that is the Holy Spirit, "the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." Let's pray. Father, we come before you this morning just hungry for your word. Asking you, oh God, to put the seed of your word in our ears, to sow it within our hearts, to bring us to a greater understanding with greater clarity of who this person of the Godhead is. I ask you that you would use me to speak to your people, to speak only that you once said, and to speak it in such a way that's a clear sound that people can absorb it and understand it. Father, we ask you as well to bless the offering today that we'll receive here in the worship room across the online experience. Those families, those individuals that support this ministry, God bless them, return it to them. Lift them up, God, above their circumstance and help them, oh God, to walk with you. We pray it all in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. It's the very beginning. Man has not been created. The earth is just a ball of water sitting in the darkness of space. And the scripture says that God began to create what we now know as planet Earth. But before anything happened, it was just a ball of water. In fact, the scripture says the earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Holy Spirit moved. He brooded on the face of the water. He hovered above the earth. Now we refer to the Holy Spirit as the third person of the Godhead. And I'm not really sure why, because he's the first one mentioned in the canon of scripture. It doesn't mean he's third place in the Godhead. And as a matter of fact, in our lives right now, Jesus will always be our Savior. He will always be our King. But Jesus right now sits at the right hand of the power on high, making mediation for you and I. Not that he's at an altar praying, just the fact that he's there in a human body. That's our mediation. But the Holy Spirit is the one who is active in the work of sanctification in your life right now. Jesus said, "He," the Holy Spirit, "will take of mine and give it to you." And that's what you and I should be experiencing in our walk every single day, receiving of Jesus Christ through the person of the Holy Spirit. Now, oftentimes we see the Holy Spirit as kind of a cloud that kind of, you know, just hovers around the room. And And that's a wrong interpretation. That's a wrong understanding. He is a person. He can be grieved. He speaks. He hears. He directs. He leads. He teaches. Everything's happening in your sanctification is being done by the Holy Spirit. Jesus paid the price on Calvary of removing the sin debt so that the Holy Spirit could come in. And if you are born again, and you remember back to the day you got born again, the week you got born again, suddenly there was this other influence upon your life. Before you got born again, you may have cussed like a sailor. But then after you're born again, now you don't feel good about those words. That's the Holy Spirit. That's his presence within your life. And there's many things that he makes us not feel good about anymore. But I wanted to draw your attention to the fact that the Holy Spirit has always been on this planet from before the creation. He is God the Father is in heaven. God the Son sits at his right hand. The Holy Spirit is the only person of the Godhead who is active on this planet. As a matter of fact, anything that's ever been done on this planet outside of Calvary has been done by the Holy Spirit. That is the moving power of God. When we look back and we look back at events in the Old Testament like Samson with his slingshot, and the rock went directly to the forehead of Goliath. It was the Holy Spirit that took the rock from the sling and took it all the way over and penetrated his forehead with it. That was the Holy Spirit. We read the story in the Old Testament of the walls of Jericho as the Israelites, as they all shouted and began to make a noise. It was the Holy Spirit who slapped down the walls of Jericho. When the prophets of old, when they prophesied things that were centuries, even millennia in the future, it was the Holy Spirit that gave them the unction to do so. Mighty men of old, as they were moved upon by the Holy Spirit, Peter said. So we have to understand the Holy Spirit is very active in everything that God is doing on the earth. And if he is not active in your life, that's a problem. That's the situation that we have to correct. Now, in the book of Matthew, I want to look first at Jesus' public ministry very quickly. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 16. Jesus is 30 years old. It means that Jesus Christ has been on this planet for 30 years. He's never yet done a miracle. He's never taught one Bible lesson. He's never done any mighty works. 30 years, he's never done any mighty works. But in Matthew chapter 3, verse 16, it says, "And Jesus, when he was baptized, went straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were open unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God." That is, John the Baptist saw the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, descending like a dove and lighting upon Jesus. Now, it's at this point that the Holy Spirit comes upon Jesus. And let me explain this. Jesus is God. He's always been God. He will always be God. But during his incarnation, he laid aside the expression of his deity without ever losing possession of deity. In other words, he's still God, but he declined to use his powers of deity for everything. So we say, well, how then did he do these miracles? How then did he raise the dead? How then did he know things that were in the future? It's because as a perfect vessel for the Holy Spirit would come upon him and operate in one of the 9 spiritual gifts of the Spirit. And Jesus was able to do every miracle he did through the 9 gifts of the Spirit. I have one hand, so I'm saying 5 with my hand, but it was 9. But it did not start until he was baptized and the Holy Spirit came upon him. And God, he honored the occasion by saying, "This is my beloved son." And so it was at that point that the miracle working power of the Godhead began to happen. Now, a side note, the same Holy Spirit who came upon Jesus is available to come upon you and I. The same Holy Spirit, it's just that you and I are not perfect vessels, but we're vessels being sanctified towards perfection. And so to the degree that God can use us, the Holy Spirit is willing to use us, but we just simply have to prepare ourselves. Now, part of that is, of course, just holy living. But you can be in a state of less than perfection, and the Holy Spirit will still use you mightily. I probably shouldn't bring this up, but I will. Evangelist Jimmy Swaggart was not a perfect man, but God used him to touch the entire globe with the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Samson was not a perfect man, but God used him, I believe it was 20 years, as a judge of Israel. David was not perfect, but he sat upon the Davidic kingdom because God will use vessels that are not perfect, but the more perfect you can get, the more he will use you. So Jesus is baptized in the Holy Spirit. Acts 10:38, in retrospect, Luke is saying that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power. The word anointed, it just simply means to be painted upon. It means to be smeared with. He anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and power, because the Holy Ghost is power. And as a result, he went about doing good and delivering all that were oppressed by the devil. So my point that I want to make to you today is that the Holy Spirit has always been here. When Jesus came, the Holy Spirit had already been here 4,000 years. But now there's a vessel. Now there's a vessel that he can use, a perfect vessel. And when the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus Christ, he began his miracle working ministry of 3.5 years. And it was towards the end of his public ministry, he had literally dragged these 12 disciples with him in all of their carnality for 3.5 years. And towards the last 6 to 12 months of his public ministry, he began to teach them about the Holy Spirit. In the opening part, he was just teaching them the kingdom of God. He was teaching them morality and how we are to relate to our Father and how we are to relate to our fellow man. But towards the end, he began to press upon them the importance of the Holy Spirit. The hindrance is, for all human beings, it's easy to take the Holy Spirit and push him over here. We know he's here. He got us. But we're not really front center before the Holy Spirit. Do you understand what I'm saying? He becomes a peripheral issue that we love him and we think he's good, but he's not leading every step. He's not double checking every word. He's not certifying every attitude that we have simply because we're not front center with him. So towards these last months of Jesus's ministry, he says in John 3:16, he says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you." The word expedient means beneficial. He said, it's beneficial, not for me. It's beneficial for you, the 12 disciples, but everybody in this room, everybody walking, watching by webcast. It's expedient for you that I go away. Now, what he's saying when he says, I go away, he means it's expedient for you that I leave the planet through the death of Calvary. I'm going away. You won't be seeing me anymore. I'm going to the right hand of the Father. And he says, me going to the right hand of the Father, that's better for you. Because if I go not away, if I don't pay the sin debt, if I don't die on Calvary, the Holy Spirit cannot come to you and I. You see, the sin debt, the debt of sin that we owed to God for our immorality, that separated us from God, and God cannot He cannot move upon a vessel that's not perfect. Let me explain that. You and I are not perfect, but God looks at us through the blood of Jesus Christ, and our righteousness is established in Christ so that the Holy Spirit now can come upon us. So it says that, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. But if I do depart, Jesus said, I will send the Holy Spirit to you. Now, here's where things get less than intuitive. When you're born again, the Holy Spirit takes advantage of the access that he has to your heart. You begin to feel his presence, his conviction. You begin to feel his leading and his guiding, and it's real. It is the real Holy Ghost that has come upon your life. And if you stop right there in terms of your advance, the Holy Spirit that you have as a result of your born-again experience, he will sanctify you all the way to your death. He will not stop working. He will continue to move in you. But there's opportunity for advancement. And what I'm talking about today is the baptism in the Holy Spirit. I want to be very clear that when you're born again, the Holy Spirit has access and takes advantage of the access to your life. And so if you're born again, you probably will agree with this. Yes, the Holy Spirit, he convicts me. He corrects me. He teaches me. He guides me. And that is correct. But there is a second work of grace that allows the Holy Spirit to come into your life in a deeper way. And I have to be careful here. If you're ever going to listen to anybody teach you about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is evidenced by speaking in other tongues, make sure the teacher you're listening to speaks in other tongues. Because we have a plethora of very educated men who have not experienced the baptism, who preach that, no, that's not the truth. That's not the truth. That was only for the early saints. I checked the numbers this morning. In the last 50 years, between 250 and 400 million people have been baptized with the Holy Spirit around this world with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. So you can't say it's for the early church. It's for you. Peter said, the promise is unto you and unto your children and to them that are afar off, even as many as the Lord thy God shall call. So don't listen to anyone tell you it's not for you. It is for you. The book of Acts chapter 1. Now, first I told you a moment ago what Jesus taught in the last 6 months. Now I want to share these are the last words. The last words that Jesus said to the disciples before he left. Emphasizing the importance of you and I taking benefit of the baptism, the second work of grace that brings us deeper into the Holy Spirit. And someone might say, well, I think I have that now. You will know that you have that because you will begin to speak in other tongues. That does not mean another language that you know. It means you will speak in a language that you do not know and that you've never learned. And when this begins to happen, don't be afraid of it. It edifies you internally. And once you start speaking in tongues, don't stop. Speak in tongues every single day. Solidify that thing within yourself. And your tongue in the beginning, it may not sound like mine because at the beginning, my speaking in tongues, it was like a gurgle. It was nothing. It was like almost embarrassing. What is this? But when a little baby, my two-year-olds, they're talking now, but you can't understand nothing they're saying. Because it's an immature child practicing the language. But now it's been some 40 years and I can clearly hear these are words I'm saying. I can recognize sometimes the same word is being said at different times than I'm praying. It's a real language. So it develops over time, but you have to continue to speak in it. Paul said, I thank God I speak in tongues more than you all. Meaning that he was addicted in his prayer life to speak to God in his heavenly language. The last words of Jesus Christ to the disciples and by extension to you and I, Acts 1 and 4, being assembled, this is after his resurrection, being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father. Now, the promise of the Father he's referring to is Joel chapter 2 verse 8, which says, it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, not just Jewish flesh, Gentile flesh, all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And also upon my servants and upon my handmaidens in those days will I pour out of my spirit. Meaning that God opened the floodgates and pours out the Holy Spirit on whoever is desirous to receive this second work of grace. Now, those who speak in tongues and those who do not is not two different categories of Christians. Don't let anybody, it's only one category of Christian. It's just like some of us in here right now who have been saved longer have a higher level of maturity in Christ than those who just got saved. But that doesn't make two different classes. That is just one class. So don't let anybody put up, that's a straw man argument, but it doesn't hold water. So that's the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. Jesus continues in Acts 1 saying, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Now here's the big view. You came to Jesus Christ at some point. You put your faith in Jesus Christ. You were born again. When you were born again, what happened is the Holy Spirit saw true saving faith in your heart. He picked you up out of the body of the first Adam in which you were naturally born as a sinner, destined for hell. He picked you up out of that body and he baptized you into the body of Christ. Romans chapter 6. When you begin to approach God for the baptism in the Holy Spirit and the level of faith is adequate, Jesus Christ picks you up and baptizes you in the Holy Ghost. And at that point, you'll begin to see the heavenly language. But the baptism of the Holy Ghost is not just speaking in tongues. You may say, well, what makes it different? What is the difference? The baptism in the Holy Spirit equips you for ministry. Now, you can do some level of ministry without the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But you're going to be far, far, far more effective with the baptism, because it's a deeper working of the Spirit in your life, but it's going to cost you something. You're going to, you know, he comes in as King of Kings. He doesn't come in as your partner. He is the Holy Ghost. He's not just the ghost. See, in this last day, we refer to him sometimes as just the Spirit. Well, the demon is a spirit too. But we're talking about the Holy Spirit, and he brings a deeper measurement of himself when he abides in you through the baptism. When they therefore were come together, they asked him. Now, let me read back into this. Jesus said, you have heard of me. John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? Now, did you see what happened? Jesus is saying his last words before he leaves the planet. He says, I want you to stay in Jerusalem. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is going to happen. They said, well, what about the end of the world? And what's the book of Revelation mean, Jesus? And he has to snap them back because they minimized what he was saying and went to what they thought was important. And he had to snap them back. He said, it's not for you to know the times and the seasons. That's none of your business. He's saying, if I wanted you to know that, I would have already told you that. Listen to what I'm telling you now. Which the Father has put in his own power. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Now, let's slow down right here. He's not talking about salvation. These 12 disciples are already saved. It's not in reference to salvation. But he's saying, after that the Holy Spirit comes upon you in the baptism, you shall receive power. That in the Greek, that's dunamis. It's where we get our word dynamite from. It means miracle working power of God. It means a power working in your life that it doesn't matter the human condition or circumstance. God can do what he wants to with this power. And I emphasize that by saying this. 7 years, I was a crack cocaine addict. I couldn't keep $2 in my pocket. The miracle working power of the Holy Ghost in my life not only broke those chains, but put me in a position like this where, I don't know, with this ministry, $3,000 or $4,000, I suppose, where I headed up. He doesn't have to obey the rules. He's got higher laws that he works by. And the point that I wish to make is that no matter what problem, no matter what trouble, no matter what personal brokenness that you have in your life, the Holy Spirit is able to move you past all of that. Every last one of them. With God, with man, things are impossible, but with God, nothing is impossible. And the Holy Spirit is God. Am I making sense this morning? You know, one of the greatest applications of the power of God was for him to smooth out my jagged personality. You know, I can be caustic. I got bumps on my personality, sharp edges. And he's been filing them down for 40 years. And I'm not there yet, but man, I'm better than I was. He said, it's not for you to know the times and the season which the Father hath put in his hands, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and into Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the world. So this baptism is available for you and I. Even if you're already baptized in the Holy Spirit, you can be refilled. You can be refired, if you want to put it that way. No matter what, you know, sometimes, I don't know how to say this well. You can be full of the Holy Ghost, but after I preach so many messages for so many years, the tank can start getting dry. And I have to come back to God and say, Lord, fill me up. Give me what I need. Jesus is the only one that can baptize you in the Holy Spirit. No one can prophesy the Holy Spirit in your life. No preacher can lay his empty hand on your empty head and impart the Holy Spirit in you. Jesus Christ is the only baptizer in the Holy Spirit. All we can do is bring you to the foot of Jesus Christ and encourage you in your faith. And I want to do that this morning. If you're in this room this morning, and based on what you've heard said today, you, in your heart, say, preacher, I want you to pray for me. You're never too young. You're never too old. You can always receive the Holy Spirit. If that's you this morning, I want you to just slip out of your seat. Come here to the stage. Let's pray together. I want to pray with you. I want to pray for you. And we're going to just ask God this morning. Don't wait on somebody else. Just come on up. It's okay. It's come on up. Everybody will follow you. That makes you a leader. Praise the name of the Lord. If you want the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I want you, don't look at me, don't look at the ministry. Set your heart and your mind upon Jesus Christ. And we're going to just pray with you, and you begin to just lift up hands towards the Lord and say, God, I want the Holy Spirit. You don't have to be eloquent. You don't have to say it well. He knows your heart. God, I want the Holy Spirit. I'm going to ask for the elders. The elders, please come and help me this morning. Hallelujah. Come on, just begin to reach out to God. Just close your eyes and reach your hands to heaven. Father, give me the Holy Spirit. Nobody can lay hands on you and give it to you. You have to take it from the Holy Spirit as he gives it to your spirit. Come on, just begin to reach out. Father, right now in the name of Jesus Christ, I ask you to bless my brethren with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. God, fill their lives and fill their hearts. God, take them to a new dimension in your spirit. Lord, we just ask you right now. We praise and we worship you. Come on, praise and worship him. And we ask you that you would just do this. Give them the promise of God Ilo rasoro boku brandere astere boku rashe. Lebro storo boku randele osoro boku rashandere asala bakata. Fill their lives with the Holy Spirit. Fill their hearts with the Holy Spirit. Give them that empowering, that dunamis power they need for ministry. Father, in Jesus' name, we pray you right now. God, my sisters, right now, fill them up with the Holy Spirit. Fill them up with the power of God. Ilo rosoro buku rashandariaste. God, baptize them in the Holy Spirit. They're here before you in faith. God, we ask you that you'd move mightily right now, refill and fill. God, give them this promise of the Father. We look to you in Jesus' name and we ask you for it. Father, my brother, my sister, God, fill this couple, Lord, fill them with the Holy Ghost. Do it, God. Touch them, fill them, refill them. Give them that which they need, Lord, that they might enter into true service with you. Touch their lives, touch their hearts. Come on, saints, just keep praying. You got to take it yourself by faith. You got to take it yourself through your prayers. You ask for it. I cannot give it to you. Come on, just reach out to God. God, my brother, my grandbaby, God, fill these children with the Holy Spirit. Let the power of the highest come upon them. Lord, do the impossible within their life. Father, we ask you right now. Fill them with the mighty baptism in the Holy Spirit. Use them, God, in the furtherance of the kingdom and the ministry work to a greater degree than ever before. Father, we ask you now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Come on, the whole congregation, let's just praise God together. Come on, let's just praise God together. Father, we thank you. We thank you for what you're doing in these lives. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in these hearts. We ask you, be it right now, be it later today, be it whenever you desire, God, that you'd fill these seeking vessels with the power of your Holy Spirit, that you fill them, God, to the evidence of speaking in other tongues. That you put your ministry work within their heart, that you begin to exercise the gifts of the Spirit within their lives. Father, we pray it right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we ask you for it. Touch these lives. Touch these lives. Hallelujah. We're going to just leave these praying at the altar as long as they'd like to pray. If you have to leave, we understand and you're able to do so now. And those at the altar, you pray as long as you want to. Hilo rasoro boko rashe. Hilo rosoro boko rashidi bokandele ostoro boko rashe. Father, in Jesus' name, fill my brother with the Holy Ghost. Baptize him, oh God. Lord, deal with the issues, Lord, in his physical body. God, we ask you for the dunamis, the miracle working of power of God to be made evident in his life. God, in Jesus' name, we pray you right now. My sisters, oh God, fill them up. Fill them up with your power. Fill them up with your unction. God, let your dunamis come upon them. Let your Holy Spirit come upon them. Lead them, guide them into greater truth. Father, in Jesus' name, we pray you right now. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah. God, baptize Andre in the Holy Spirit. Baptize him in the power of the Most High.